blessing, but the little song is, love each other is the Father's command. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Help us be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to read in open in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and probably begin in verse 5 here. Begin in verse 1. For we know that if the earthly house, the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. Verse 3 says, inasmuch as we having put it on, we will not be found naked. I want to just start there in verse 1, just talk a little about this. For we know that this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. We've talked about that we are a soul. We just live in this body. This is our tent. It's a dwelling place. We're a soul. And what this body does really is we either are building up or we're tearing down our soul. Because our soul's who we are. The eternal things that we're building on, those things that are in Christ, is what will pass into eternity, into either into heaven or into hell. And so, keeping that in mind, I want us just to keep those things in mind this morning, that this house that we're living in is just a temporary place. So, for indeed we are in a tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that this mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether it at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. That's the verse I really wanted to get to this morning. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That, you know, a lot of times we talk about, just religious people. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about God's love. And like the song was saying, you know, if you take that and you really apply that, to love one another is the highest goal. Whenever we, you know, and a lot of people take that and just run with it. Well, all I got to do is love my neighbor, you know. But it never really gets to our souls. And that's the heart of what I'm talking about. A religion that gets to our souls. You know, it's easy for us to put these things on the outside maybe, or even just to say we agree to them, or just come to church and everything be okay. But what is important is this verse here that talks about us, every one of us going to stand before Jesus on the judgment day. Another verse says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You know, a lot of times we don't think about judgment. We don't like it sometimes to think about it. But the reality is we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our lives, good or bad. Either for good or for bad. And what we, you know, we can have this outside thing, or we can have this comfortable thing where we feel like we're all right. We've been baptized, we go to church, and we, you know, we show up at church, but then we go do whatever we want to do. You know, we've talked about there's churches that teach that that's just fine. And we know that that's not the way things are. What I want to talk about this morning is religion that gets to your soul. Not just skirting on the outside. Because when we stand before Jesus, when we are called to give an account of our lives, He's not going to look at all that outside stuff. He's going to judge our souls. And if our religion hasn't got to our soul, those burning eyes of our Lord are going to just burn through all of that muck and all of that stuff on the outside and look at your bare naked soul and see it just exactly how it is. And He's going to see if our religion is about that deep. It's Sunday morning, twice a week. If I run into one of the brothers somewhere, put on a little show, or whether our soul is knit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all that's going to matter when we stand before Him on that day. You know, it's not going to matter. Well, I was friends with somebody. It's not going to matter. I went to church with people that were good people. It's not going to matter. Well, you know, I would be a Christian except for so-and-so over there. I would do better, but my dad, you know, he was a jerk. I don't know how many times, I've seen young men grow up hating their fathers because of how they are and turn out just exactly like them because they despised them. And when you despise somebody and you hate something in somebody else, it's because it is a true reflection of who you are. And that's what you will become. That's part of seeing the soul as it is and who it really is. What I'm trying to say is on that day whenever Jesus Christ looks at every one of us and sees our souls, it won't be an excuse session. It won't be a wine fest. oh, I should have, could have had to, you know, this been mistreated. Somebody did me wrong. I had a bad husband. I had a bad wife. My children wouldn't listen to me. No. Jesus will look right through our souls and see who we are. Well, I was a good person. I just did bad things. Won't work. I went to church. Went to a good church. Went to the right church. Didn't really matter. Because if it don't get in you, you know, that's one of the things these church groups that have a group conscience, that everybody just decides how we're all going to believe. And then if you don't believe like they do, they excommunicate you or they kick you out. Problem is, on the judgment day, it don't matter if there's 10,000 of them that had the same agreement. You're going to be there by yourself. Nobody here is going to be with you when you stand before the Lord. It's Him and you. Him and your soul. That's why Christ came. You know, the lesson that was read this morning talked about these men of God, these men of faith that lived on this earth. And He didn't tell they kept these rules, this rule, that rule. These were men who, by faith, heard God and forsook the world and lived for Him. You know, that's where I got the little definition of faith that we give. Faith is my response to God's claim on my life. Every one of those people that Cale read about this morning were men who God said, do this. They didn't say, I believe in God. It's good. It's every one of those men that Cale read about this morning. When God called them, they responded and did whatever He asked them to do. That's faith. You know, we think we've done something because we got baptized and just come to church every Sunday morning. That won't get it. That will not get it. This religion, this faith in Christ has to touch your soul. And it can, if you let it. I've often thought of that, and the world was not worthy. It told there in Hebrews about those people and how they suffered. And how the many things they did. And how many things were done wrong to them. They were cut asunder. They were burned. And the world was not worthy of them. And we can just go out and act like the world, live like the world, do whatever the world does, have a big time, and think that I'm in the same boat as they are. You know, there's a spiritual battle here in this world, and the world loves its own. And the world blesses its own. You know, I often think, well, why can't I just having relationships with people, being friends with people, and I just, there's so many times I just reach out and try to be friends with people, and there's just a brick wall you hit. They don't want to be friends with me for some reason. And I think a lot of it's because I've made choices and I've chose to live a certain way. And I wanted to hear this voice. And I wanted to be among those that the world is not worthy. Not just get into heaven by the skin of my teeth, because there won't be none of that. Jesus didn't die by the skin of his teeth. He gave his all for it. It's a privilege to be a part of those people, and I hope that's the desire. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a gathering of people with that kind of commitment to be the called out, the chosen. You know, we've tried not to define that other than people that are committed this way. And sometimes people believe this way or believe that way, have a little different. And so we can't agree with each other. There's only going to be one group of these people. And they're the ones that are committed to Jesus and love their neighbor and willing to stand up against a whole pile of church people sometimes that are trying to force something else on them than just loving God. You know, it sounds like it's a broad umbrella, but really it's not. You know, we tell people that, you know, anybody that's basically practicing these teachings, you know, we allow them to commune with us and be a part of us. But it's amazing, just by doing that, how many people won't have anything to do with us. Because although it seems like a big umbrella, it's really just a pretty small one. Because of that commitment to be a part of those people who are not worthy of this world. And the rest of them know that. And that's the spiritual thing. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." This is communion. This is one of the most serious things in the early church. Jesus mentioned it in all throughout his teachings. This communion, this partaking of Christ's body. It's here, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." He took the bread the night he was betrayed. And, you know, he even offered that bread to the one that betrayed him. You know, a lot of churches, they use this, that if you don't get in line, we won't give you this. Because this is where life is at. I mean, the Catholic Church believe that this is where their life comes from when they take that bread. And so, if they're denied it, they don't have any spirituality at all. We believe it's bigger than that, but we also believe it's a very important thing. It's being a partaker of the body of Christ. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body." You know, there's people that have been punished because they would say that wasn't the real body of Christ. And what they were saying is it wasn't what the church was offering them, it's the body. But whenever we read this book, every time Jesus talks about it, every time the book mentions communion, it says this is his body. And there's no magic formula to turn it into his body, but by faith we partake of this as his body. Which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, are we remembering, oh, I'm going to heaven, I'm good? No. Remember that it's my broken body, my dead body, that we're fellowshipping with, that we're associating with, that the world is not worthy to be a part of. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is our covenant with Christ that he paid with his blood. We're in fellowship with him. We're in partnership with him. We're with those few that are lined up with him. It's not just a church thing that, well, you disagree with me, so you can't take it. Some people just take it every 6 months, and right before that 6 month time, they get everything lined up. And let the church look at them and examine them, and then, okay, you can commune. But that's not what it's about. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he's come. We're proclaiming the Lord's death till he's come. That our soul is in kinship with that death. That this is where our heart is. Therefore, whoever eats or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Whenever we're partaking of this, and we're just doing it to be saved, we're just doing it because it's a church thing to do, if we're just doing it because, for however many other reasons you want to think of, we're guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. Now, this doesn't say that, well, if you've had a weak moment or you just... What it's saying is whenever we're taking of this, is we're saying we are all in to follow Jesus. No matter what it costs us. It's not just an and then. It's an all in. For he who eats and drinks... eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, we are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. You know, but when we are judged, we are discipled by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And the King James says, examine yourselves. There's a lot of churches that set themselves up that they're responsible to examine each and everybody that takes. That if one would dare to partake, that it would contaminate the whole body. Jesus offered this and Judas took it to his own damnation. It's not up to the church to decide who and what is worthy. You know, I've told people, I'm not a detective. I've seen pastors and bishops and deacons and that are detectives. Got to get to the bottom of this and make sure everybody is just so-so. That's not what we're doing here. We're trying to be a body of people who are following Jesus. They're all in the following. And everyone needs to examine their own life. Do you want to follow Jesus? Or do you want to play around with the world? If you're living in sin, doing things that you shouldn't, and you're pretending to be right with God, just hoping this will cover it all up. One of these days you'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and you're bringing on yourself the condemnation of the Lord. I know each one of us, if we're wanting to follow Jesus and we don't do perfect, we're not expecting that. That's not what it's about. But if you love the world and are trying to think this will cover all of it up, you're damning yourself. And you're guilty of the blood and the body that was crucified for the whole world. That's why it says to examine yourselves. And that's why we leave things as open as we can. That's why we leave things to people who are trying to put into practice. That's why we leave things that some people just have all the outside and it looks good. So I'm not the judge here. You are. Be much better to miss out, not be ashamed, or be ashamed of maybe look, you know. And the thing about it is if you're all in, it's stay in. This is part of it. This is how we draw near to God. This is how we draw near. But that separation, we're either on that line or we're not. Like I said, I'm not talking about performance and everything going perfect, but we're either in or we're out. And if we're in, it's hard for someone just to go along. They don't want to be a part of us. That's what keeps the church pure. It's not the rules we can do to regulate all this. It's the people that are in it. That talked about weakness and sick and sleep. Because it's about those who are in. All in to following Jesus. But a man, verse 28, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat and drink of the cup. We don't have to do this every little time. In other words, just examine, do I want to follow Jesus or do I want the world? Do I want to follow Jesus or do I want my religion? Examine yourself. This is not meant to condemn the saints. Because it doesn't. We know whether we're in or not. But we got to examine ourselves. Every one of us will stand before Christ. And we will have either been honest with ourselves or not. This is for people who have failed. This is for people who have sinned. But now they want to follow Jesus. We have to choose. That goes with all, everything. I mean, if you want to be, that's all we're asking. Be all in for Jesus. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless y'all.